Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 710 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It's Wednesday. That means we'll be talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves in about half an hour. For now, yesterday I was at the groundbreaking for the third phase of the ST Engineering project, Project Titan. That's the third maintenance, repair, and overhaul hangar. There are two in place right now operating, and the third one ground broke yesterday across the tarmac from the first two, so this will be on the 12th Avenue side where they tore down all those houses and are tearing down all those trees and like the storage area that's being torn down, I think, is a part of that. You can see that right on 12th Avenue. So talked to Bill Hafner yesterday from ST, learned a lot about, you know, the project, and also asked him some questions about employment challenges and pay challenges in that PNJ article. So here you go.
Right, so we're here with Bill Hafner. He is the, tell me again your title.
I'm Chief Integration Officer. So my responsibilities are the design and development of the aerospace campus here in Pensacola.
So we're here for the groundbreaking for Phase 3, the third hangar out of four plus an administrative complex. Almost halfway through the project now, right?
Yeah, I would say we're at that point. We're about halfway through the development and the construction, yeah.
And when it's done, what will Hangar 3 add to the capacity for ST, both in terms of jobs and planes to service?
Okay, so Hangar 3 is another double wide-body bay hangar. So it has the capacity of housing as much as four 757s wingtip to wingtip, a pair of 777s, or as much as six A321s. And what that means is you've got about 170,000 square feet of working space, along with admin, materials, support, and so forth and so on. And that hangar will allow us to grow probably at full capacity about another 400 to 600 persons in that building.
And that's the same basic size as Hangar 2 and also Hangar 1, or Hangar 2 was a little bit bigger?
Hangar 1 and Hangar 2 were slightly larger. Okay. They were about 170 to 174,000 square feet. This is just one under 170, but it was really a matter of efficiency in building the hangar a little bit better so we could use that space more adequately.
And what's the timetable for building Hangar 4? I know it's a bit premature since we're just groundbreaking Hangar 3, but we have all this land. It's been cleared of the houses. It's been largely cleared of the trees. So what is the timeline finishing Hangar 3 and beginning Hangar 4 and completing that?
Well, you know, Hangar 4, this is a city project, as you know. So all of the processes are required to get us going, go through city process. All right, so where we're at right now is we're working with the Atkins Engineering Firm, who is the engineering firm of note. They're working on design for Hangar 4. Okay. Once we get design completed and we got it up to a design criteria package that we can release to the marketplace, then we'll go through the normal city procurement, find us a builder, a contractor, and then we'll be able to establish a groundbreaking time. But right now, I don't know what that is.
Fair enough. What kind of capacity are we operating at? Are we more customers than we can service? Are we in need of customers? And from your perspective, in terms of clients for the MRO?
We are not in need of customers. We have a fantastic customer base. We have all the UPS work that we can get into the facility right now, both 757 and A300 equipment. Also, United Airlines is here on their 757 programs, and they're going to be bringing more work to Hangars 3 and 4 as they get developed. So we have no shortage of customers. If there's any constraint at all right now, it's in manpower. And I believe that we're going to address that with the A&P school that was discussed here today.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that. What is the new development for the training of the service personnel fleet that do the work here at the hangars?
So we call that Project Nova. It's already kicked off. We're going to start the A&P training program, which is an FAA-recognized Part 147 under Title 14 of the Code of Federal Regulations. It's a recognized A&P school, a finishing school. So that's going to start in Hangar 1. We've cleared off our center mezzanine. We have equipment coming now. The project is funded. We've altered the facility. We've invested a couple hundred thousand dollars in a discrete and segregated entrance for the students and a badging system, as well as equipment and tools. So we're going to start there, hopefully get certification by end of summer, and start fall classes here in partnership with Pensacola State College. Going forward, phase two of that project will be at this site.
Okay.
Just north of Hangar 3, there'll be a brick and mortar project, a development of approximately 20,000 square feet of training center adjacent to our ramp so that the students can be on a live airport working around live aircraft and in our maintenance environment and apprenticeship programs.
This is really an ideal way for them to get the training that they need so that you can cultivate the workforce, but also they're working in the actual environment where the work takes place. Was that an initial plan to have it that way, or has this been adaptive because of a shortage of workers ongoing?
No, it's an initial plan. We've always done this at ST, and in fact, in most of our locations, if you go to Singapore, we've got a training academy there, a cadet academy, where they train both pilots and maintenance technicians. In Mobile, we've always partnered with the colleges and the universities to offer these programs. We've always had the AMP program, so we had guys on site working about 20 hours a week in apprenticeship while they're going to school full-time. So it's an old program. It's tried and true, and it's tested, and it works.
We're going to pause right there. We'll come back to the rest of this interview with Bill Hafner from ST yesterday that I did while they were doing the groundbreaking for Project Titan Phase 3. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
Well, if you are on Pinecone Drive in Pine Forest, traffic is building up heading southbound toward I-10. And east and westbound on Fairfield Drive, we are seeing a lot of traffic building up in between Pace Boulevard and Palafox Street. If you're heading westbound on 98 from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you can expect to see a little bit of traffic building up right before the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve, but clearing up as you pass the park and get on the 3 Mile Bridge. And in Pace and Milton, Woodbine is building up a little bit right before the intersection with US 90, seeing a little bit of a slowdown on the US 90 bridge, but clear as you get off the bridge into Pensacola this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. When I say words like BMW, Porsche, Mercedes, Audi, Genesis, Jaguar, Lexus, good quality imports you pay more to get, you do not have to pay more to service. You might think you have to. You might think you have to go to the dealership. Not true. Other people know how to work on those cars. Bobby Likas, they work on those cars all the time. And you don't have to go to the dealership like as an obligation. That's actually a federal law that protects you and your ability not to have to go to the dealership if you don't want to. And then there's the time, if it's at a distance, or the gas, if it's at a distance. And, of course, the price always. They work on those cars that Bobby Likas. Domestics, of course, Ford and Chevy bring them in too. If you've got a diesel truck, you might think that's a specialty item, got to go to the dealership. You don't. Bobby Likas, they work on those. And gas engines too. They want to see you a little bit more often for the routine, regular, preventative maintenance, so you don't have to see them for the big catastrophic problem that was caused by not seeing them more regularly for the routine, preventative maintenance. Bobby Likas Auto Service online at carclinicservice.com or just stop by on Davis Highway. Back to the Bill Hafner interview from ST yesterday at the groundbreaking for the third hangar for Project Titan.
The last thing I wanted to ask you, Bill, there's been some conversation about attraction and retention of employees for ST based on pay and competitiveness within the environment of MRO operations and aerospace. I just want to give you a chance to address that since it was raised as a criticism.
Sure.
Is that at all connected with the challenges of getting enough people to work? What's your perspective on that?
No, I don't believe so. And I think that was a somewhat slanted article. I read that as well. Let me say this about it. First off, we have a very young workforce here. And because of that, you're going to see that the wages are a little lower than what they will be over time. We have a graduated pay scale. So if you come in as an apprentice and work your way through to senior mechanic, your wages will rise as you grow in your capacity and capability. That's one thing. The second thing is that wage that they recognized was a blended wage. There are many other support positions that don't receive the level of pay that a technician on the aircraft does. And so that had a tendency to suppress that a little bit, bring it down. I can honestly tell you that we're competitive and we're comparable to United States standards and averages.
So if you had one message for the 18 or 19-year-old that's just graduating high school right now and trying to decide what to do with their future, you want them, right?
You're absolutely right about that. We do want them. And I would say one more thing. I entered this industry in 1980. I became an aircraft mechanic. I progressed through the ranks at ST Engineering to the presidency of the company. Anyone who has the desire, the drive, can do this. It's a great career opportunity for them, and there's good compensation along the way.
Bill Hafner, congratulations on another milestone.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was good to hear him. Good to hear him address some of those things. And also, I think, there are still lingering questions. One question is, will Hangar 4 be built? As the mayor talked about yesterday, there is a gap between the funding available and the likely cost of that. Does that mean they're going to have to build a reduced capability hangar, and which would mean less than 1,725 jobs? Does that mean that you're going to have to find additional funding? How much is that funding gap at $210 million already committed to the project? How much more would it take? Where would that money come from? Would ST put up more? Would they go back to Triumph and ask for more? Would they ask from the city for the county? These are all open questions at this point, sort of a to be determined. One thing that I've been mentioning whenever we've been talking about this morning is there are still people, and I'm one of them, who feel like the price tag involved for all of this was, you know, quite high. And it was. I mean, $210 million. Now, 53 of that, or sorry, 35 of that came from ST. And then 56 of that came from Triumph. And the purpose of the Triumph money, for those of you who don't remember, that $1.5 billion set aside from the Triumph $2 billion, you know, we lost $500 million in, let's call them, processing fees to the rest of the state. But $1.5 billion was set aside for the diversification of the economy, economic development. You know, we found out with the oil spill what we really learned from the oil spill was, boy, if something happens to our beaches, tourism takes a dive and it's really bad for everybody. And other than tourism and the military, what do we have? Well, let's expand. Let's diversify. And so Triumph is all about generating economic development in sectors not already developed and creating jobs and opportunities and enticing companies and all of this kind of stuff. So Triumph, $56 million, it was for this kind of a purpose. So that's, I would call that appropriate use of that money. It doesn't change the price tag, but it's, you know, it's appropriate. And then you get down to like FDOT, $50 million. The governor's job fund, about $24 million. Legislative appropriations of about $3 million. The city of Pensacola is in for $8 million, I think. The Escambia County is in for $12 million. Economic Development Agency federal funds is in for $17 million. And then another Florida job grant fund came in at the back end for another $5 million. So you put it all together, and if you take out the ST contribution, you get about $175 million of public money. Divided by 1,700 jobs is about $100,000 apiece, $103,000, something like that. Which is a lot. I mean, that's a lot, okay? Maybe it's worth it. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's moot at this point because we're already, you know, into phase three. But when we think about these things for the future, then without the Triumph money, it drops down to 119. If you think of the Triumph money as being really for this kind of thing, so it's other funds, you know, we put in about $119 million. That's about $70,000 a job. For jobs that pay somewhere in the, what, 50 to 70 range, depending on experience and, as you heard Bill talk about, qualifications and time on the job and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure there are a lot of companies that would like to be able to get $70 to $100-plus thousand per job created to expand their businesses in you know, government money. And that's a one-time cost that would produce, you know, if it produces a job, you say, you know, if it makes a job for 5 years, that's $20,000 per year for a job. You know, if it makes a job for 10 years, that's 10. I mean, I think there are ways to rationalize it as economic development, as it makes sense. But there's no getting around the fact that it's a cost. It's a big cost. And for the people who don't like economic development, don't like the government playing winners and losers with any public funds whatsoever, let alone taxpayer, you know, ad valorem, sales tax kind of funds, there's still a robust argument to be had about, you know, was this good or was this not good in terms of being wise decision-making? But, you know, I think at this point it's we're kind of committed to it. And so the issue is not so much was it smart? The question is what would be smart in the future? And, you know, are we making sure that we get the results that we want for the money that we put in? 723 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Like sports, music, computers, or animals?
So do children who are awaiting adoption.
Families First Network is the connection between children who wait in foster care and families who adopt.
As the trusted partner for adoptions in Northwest Florida, Families First Network connects adoptive families with training and support throughout the entire process.
Begin your journey by signing up for a free Zoom information session at familiesfirstnetwork.org.
That's familiesfirstnetwork.org.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you in a situation where you need a miracle? You need God to do something that seems impossible? The Bible explains that without God, we can do nothing, but with Him, all things are possible. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and explains that, and I quote, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." He's speaking in the context of a virgin conception. If God can bring about the miracle of a biological impossibility, don't you think He can solve your problems? In Jeremiah 33:3, God challenges those who need a miracle when He says this, and I quote, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I urge you, call upon Him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
We used to argue about whose turn it was to clean the gutters, but then I had Leaf Filter gutter protection installed.
Wait, I told you Leaf Filter had free inspections and estimates and a lifetime guarantee.
Meaning we never have to argue about whose turn it is to clean the gutters again.
But I visited leaffilter.com/beacon first.
No, I did.
It doesn't matter who. Visit leaffilter.com/beacon to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Levenkamp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Nazis. I hate these guys.
Gotta raise a little hell.
Council on Aging Senior Chill Out takes place this Friday, June 7th at Area Lowe's, Fairfield Airport, 9 Mile in Pensacola, Highway 98 in Gulf Breeze, Highway 90 in Pace, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Bring or purchase on location AC units or fans for the elderly. Of course, money is also welcome as well, benefiting the Council on Aging of West Florida. Bands on the beach every Tuesday night. So coming up next Tuesday, which would be scrolling a little bit here, next Tuesday would be 12-11. Performing 2 weeks in a row, according to my list. So that's kind of a cool thing. 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Jimmy's got traffic on the 5. Jimmy?
Well, if you're heading southbound on Pine Forest, traffic is building up just before the 9-mile intersection due to a broken-down tractor. In downtown Pensacola, heading southbound on 9th Avenue, you can expect to see some traffic built up going all the way to Chase Street from Cervantes. On Pinecone Drive in Pine Forest, traffic is building up heading southbound toward I-10. East and westbound on Fairfield, traffic is building up in between Pace Boulevard and Palafox Street. And heading northbound on Davis Highway, traffic is built up as you pass Maxwell Street going all the way to Fairfield. So expect some delays heading northbound on Davis this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. One of the notes here we got about ST was somebody texted and said, I just wish Singapore Technologies was an American company. I have an issue with subsidizing private companies with taxpayer dollars. I mean, it's a fair question. I think there's a variety of reasons that people might have philosophical objections to this particular deal, and certainly that's been one that has been mentioned as well. Hey, if you're 64 turning 65, you're going to change over onto Medicare. You want to call Ricky Stewart. She'll help you make that change, and she's like, her whole family does insurance. She does this one part of it. So if you're retiring or you're just, you know, at that age where you're going to go from regular health insurance over to Medicare, you might have questions. It's normal. Everybody does. What's supplement? What's Advantage? What is Medicaid? Does Medicaid apply to me? What's the difference between Medicaid and Medicare? You don't have to know. You can ask her. She'll tell you. She's really good at this stuff, and I've known her as long as we've lived here, and she's just good people. Ricky Stewart Insurance. Look her up online or give her a call, 341-2185. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The House of Representatives taking aim at the International Criminal Court for seeking arrest warrants from Israeli officials, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The chamber passed legislation yesterday that would sanction anyone involved in the court's investigations. That bill likely, though, will stall in the Senate. An FDA panel has rejected the use of psychedelic MDMA to treat post-traumatic stress disorder. They voted overwhelmingly against the proposed treatment yesterday, citing flawed studies and possible side effects. And Andrew, a wild story out of Martin County, where a nearly naked man reportedly drove his car through the front doors of the county jail into the lobby here this week, then got out, started throwing rubber snakes and cell phones into the building. The man then...
Why is that weird?
You're right. That's totally normal.
Also, nearly naked?
He was wearing a women's top. And only a women's top. The man reportedly started pouring motor oil on the vehicle and threatening to light himself and the car on fire. Deputies described him as amped up. They also say he was making threats and talking about his hatred for former President Donald Trump. Ultimately, he was taken into the hospital for some mental health treatment and is now in the county jail in, so, you know, the cell area.
Clarifying question.
Yeah.
He had already poured motor oil all over himself, bottom naked, top wearing a woman's top, all over the car in the jail?
He did that after the crash into the lobby.
But right. He was, so restraining him was probably an adventure. Can we put it that way?
And that's an image I didn't need in my head.
You know, there are some times when I think as a cop what you say to yourself is, I'm just going to let this play out for a minute, see what happens.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Biden in France for tomorrow's 80th anniversary of D-Day.
He's going to spend parts of the next 2 days out in Normandy commemorating the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And even though we don't expect this to be an explicitly political trip, he is going to give remarks about one of the issues that his campaign team thinks are top for them, democracy.
Fox's Peter Ducey in Paris. Lawyers for former President Trump want to ditch the muzzle slapped on him by the judge, Juan Merchan, who oversaw his criminal trial.
Trump lawyers say due to the former president's campaigning, it should be lifted, citing a debate with President Biden later this month and statements from adult film star Stormy Daniels and the former president's former attorney, Michael Cohen, both prosecution witnesses.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers in New York City. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne, 77 degrees right now, mostly cloudy skies in Pensacola. The Escambia Sheriff's Office still looking for three teenagers wanted in connection to a shooting that killed a young woman in the Montclair neighborhood on Monday. Deputies are looking for 17-year-old Glenn James III and 18-year-olds Michael Falater and Zane Cook.
We believe that they have information that, regarding this homicide, either they were there or they have information. So if you know where we can find these three individuals, please give us a call. We do consider, I wouldn't approach them yourself. We ask that you would contact us and let us do the approaching for you.
Sheriff Chip Simmons tells News Radio the three are wanted for questioning only right now. And if you have any information, contact the sheriff's office or call Crime Stoppers. That shooting happened on Monday afternoon in the Montclair area near Rowan Lane. Construction now beginning on the third of the four planned ST Engineering hangars at the Pensacola International Airport, part of Project Titan. It's a big maintenance repair overhaul complex expected to generate thousands of jobs when it's done.
Our aviation, aerospace, and defense industries are our number two economic driver. So there's a lot of demand for these jobs in MRO and A&P mechanics, and we're really excited for the opportunities that they will bring here in Pensacola.
That is the Florida Department of Commerce's Jason Mahone. Also announced a new partnership between ST Engineering and Pensacola State College. They're starting a new joint maintenance technician training academy, and they're hoping to get that certified over the summer. Enrollments could begin as soon as this fall. Well, if you're headed to the park in Gulf Breeze today, don't light up. The city council approved an ordinance this week banning smoking and vaping in city parks. City manager Sam Abel says it brings their city in line with other communities in our area.
This is a position that all of the panhandle, I think, is taking as it relates to just making sure our air is healthy and clean to breathe. So I will give props to Pensacola and Milton and our surrounding cities who really were very quick to adopt this after the state of Florida lifted the preemption.
Mm-hmm. And the exception to the new law, of course, is unfiltered cigars, which are exempted by the state. That smoking ban officially went into effect as of Tuesday this week. Pensacola Beach lifeguards are making a bit of a change in their beach flag warning system. Moving forward, they say it'll now be two red flags, which means the Gulf of Mexico is closed for swimming and wading.
If you see a red flag in the past, that has meant the same thing. However, to stay in consistency with our partners over at Navarre Beach or in Orange Beach, South Walton, or really, frankly, anywhere around the state of Florida, they all fly a red flag, but you could still go in the water. Just understand that there is a higher risk for rip currents, and severe chop.
That is Escambia County Public Safety spokesman Davis Wood, and he says that single red flag now just means high hazard level of dangerous currents, and beachgoers would still be encouraged to stay out of the water, but the Gulf itself wouldn't be closed. All of the other flag warnings will stay the same. 7:35 now, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jimmy, what are you seeing?
Well, if you were in Pace or Milton, you can expect to see some traffic built up on Woodbine as you approach the US 90 intersection there. Chemukla Highway and US 90 looking pretty good, so if you want to hop on Guernsey and take that as an alternate route, I would recommend it. Some traffic building up on the US 90 bridge, especially as you enter Pensacola, but once you get past that scenic highway intersection there, should be good to go. Heading southbound on Pine Forest, traffic is still built up just before the 9 Mile intersection due to a broken down tractor. East and westbound on Fairfield, traffic is building up in between Pace and Palafox Street. And heading northbound on Davis Highway, traffic is building up as you pass Maxwell Street going all the way to Fairfield. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
There will be just a small chance at a stray sprinkle, 20% chance of rain overall today, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Thursday, pop-up showers and thunderstorms with a 60% chance of rain, high on Thursday near 88. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 76 degrees and just a small rain chance Friday, 30% with a high near 92. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, it is warming up nice. We've got mostly cloudy skies, 81 in Pensacola, 80 in Gulf Breeze, 80 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Amazon Labor Union, the first group of company workers to organize at a U.S. warehouse, said it has taken steps to affiliate with the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. The Amazon Labor Union has faced setbacks since its landmark 2022 victory in Staten Island. Union leader Chris Small said the affiliation agreement still needs to be ratified by ALU and Teamster members. The National Basketball Association and National Hockey League are concerned over Diamond Sports' capability of hosting the upcoming 2024 to 2025 sports season. The media company, which operates under the Bally Sports brand, has been under bankruptcy protection since March of last year. This news comes after Diamond said it was delaying its hearing to confirm its reorganization plan from mid-June until late July. Futures are moderately higher. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 140. The NASDAQ up 28. That's Your Money Now.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us today at 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, Andrew.
Always good to have you. Let's start with a happy note. I think actually most everything I have to talk about today is to some degree a happy note. One happy note is the bridge lights are on. They're on at night. They're brilliant. They're bright. They're red, white, and blue, except for a couple that are not because they're maybe damaged. But they're on, right?
All you have to do is ask. yes, they are on. And I mentioned when we talked about it last week, which was I guess must be in our good luck charm Governor DeSantis had said that the state bridges would be red, white, and blue. We continue to work on the Sunday or Monday after the 4th of July turns to Blue Angels Week, that we get an exception from the governor. So we are working on that. And FDOT is working on that. And I'm kind of at the ready to help if they're running into any issues. But we might have made it. You know, I want to see some consistency before I say mission accomplished. But, we are definitely on the right track. And this could be, finally that we have consistent lights on our bridge.
Is the goal for Blue Angels blue and gold, or is it something else?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, there's blue and gold. And there was actually some settings. That was pre-planned when they were putting the lights in, that those kind of options would be available, including some of the animation stuff. Now, I don't know that that's going to be ready, but at least going blue and yellow should be ready. And then, of course, per the governor's order, it'll be red, white, and blue for the rest of the summer.
Okay. So, and as we know, with these kind of lights, you can program animation or moving or what. There's all kinds of things that you can do with them. Almost anything you can do with them, really.
Correct.
All right. So I'm gonna take advantage of the opportunity, since apparently you have not because you ask not, and if I ask, we have. So the District 4 commission seat, which of course the city of Pensacola is mostly within District 4, might as well ask. Maybe we'll get results. Do you know anything? Has the governor communicated to your office anything? Do you have any insight as to whether we should expect an appointment before the primary or even before the election?
No, I checked in with the appointments office last week, and just if there's a decision or any movement, and the answer was no.
Okay.
So that's where it sits.
Okay.
And I think there's a lot of the list has been published. I think there's a lot of good candidates, good options. Obviously, it's not a secret. I mean, I had a letter of support or there's a reference for Jared Moore, mm-hmm. who I think would do a great job as an appointee. But at the end of the day, that decision rests with the governor. And if it's too difficult of a decision to make, or we're too torn, I do wish that there's that representation in our city right now. There's
things
happening and there's decisions being made. I don't know that that's a good scenario for anyone, state or local or District 4, to not make that decision. But that's out of my purview. So, it doesn't. The last update I received from Tallahassee was no update.
Yeah, and it's also, and just particularly as it relates to Jared, he's. Unless he decides to resign to run for commission, which I think looks unlikely, we miss out on the opportunity of having him as a contender precisely because he would only likely be in that seat if he gets appointed to it. And I understand the reasons why the governor would be reluctant to act, and I heard some of the stories about why there's inaction, but I always like to check and
right.
see if there's anything that you might have heard, and it sounds like the answer is no, and so we'll keep waiting as we're doing. We're going to get to ST in let's go ahead and start there, because obviously yesterday was a big day for the city of Pensacola. The groundbreaking for Phase 3, we've talked about this all morning because it's obviously a big thing. Just briefly, somebody had asked me to be sure the traffic created by the employees and by the students at the school that's going to be there on the west side, that's all going to go out onto 12th Avenue. That's not going to go onto Langley, right?
That is correct. Every rendering I've seen, every drawing I've seen, and that includes Hangar 3, potential Hangar 4, as well as the A&P Mechanic School that was just approved in that first phase by Triumph. So if you left the airport terminal and you took a right on 12th, I believe you would get to Hangar 4 first, then 3, and then the northernmost, which would be kind of behind the butcher shop there, but not accessed from Langley, would be the A&P Mechanic School. That would be
gotcha.
The northernmost facility. So that's the order of, but all of that traffic will be going in and out on 12th Avenue.
You mentioned it just there, potential hangar four. In my mind, this has always been presented as a four hangars plus an administrative building. Of course, we've also now added this schoolhouse that would eventually be 1,725 jobs, $210 million price tag for the whole shebang. But I'm, you know, yesterday you talked about this, that hangar four is, I would say it's in doubt. It's an uncertainty. It's a we don't know. Talk to me a little bit about how much extra money are we talking about? Do we even know? What's the likelihood, if you want to handicap it for me?
Yeah, sure. So, again, you know, Hangar 3 is about in the mid-80s, about, you know, $83, $85 million. So if we're going off of that working number, not assuming any cost increases when 4 was ready to go, you know, we've got, give or take, about $40 million left. Now, this is not a unique story to Pensacola. This is when you set dollar amounts for hangars in 2014,
yeah.
Voila, we're in 2024 and costs are 30%, 40% up. So again, this is not the fault of anyone in this process or underestimating costs or anything like that. So the decision becomes, okay, well, you know, how do we make up that delta? How do we adapt to that delta? You know, there's conversations about, you know, do we do a hangar 3.5 and look at that, because we certainly would have the funding to do that at least. Do we go back to some of those funding sources? You know, there has been a lot of money put into this project. So, you know, there could be some trepidation with that, understandably. So luckily, we don't have to make that decision right now. I think we're going to probably have some preliminary conversations with some folks at some of those different entities and gauge temperature on those types of things. But at the end of the day, yes, we have a delta, but I do think we've got options regardless of what happens. And if that means we end up with, you know, one less bay than we thought 10 years ago, and maybe that's, you know, 100 less jobs or something like that, and we have to go have those conversations, we'll do that. And if we think there's a path to victory in terms of coming up with $40 million somehow through Triumph or other sources, then certainly we'll explore those. So we do have time to focus on that as we get Hangar 3 going, and you know, I'm sure the most logical, pragmatic solution will come to light.
All right. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Rees, Mayor of Pensacola. I had one more question about ST. We'll come back to that in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you're heading westbound on 98 from Gulf Breeze Navarre, traffic is building up right before the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve, but clearing up as you exit the park and approach the 3 Mile Bridge. Heading into Pensacola from Pacer Milton, traffic is built up on Woodbine at the intersection of US 90 and showing significant buildup as you exit the US 90 bridge into Pensacola, but clearing up as you pass the Scenic Highway intersection. And traffic is building up at every intersection in downtown Pensacola this morning, so expect delays and use caution driving downtown. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Mayor D.C. Rees. Mr. Mayor, I talked with Bill Hafner yesterday. We just played the interview at the top of the hour from ST and asked him the question of, look, obviously you have, you know, clients are beating down the door at ST to get their plane service there. That's not the issue. The issue is having enough employees who are able to do the work, which is why PSC is partnering with them to do this on the grounds in the hangars training. I think that's a great program. It just shows the adaptability of PSC to help provide workforce. What's your thought, if you have one, about why we haven't been able to get enough of the employees trained up? I mean, is it lack of awareness that this is out there? Is it lack of interest? I mean, what do you have any thought about why this pipeline of employees hasn't quite been up to the task, at least not yet?
Yeah, I almost feel like a broken record. It's why every time I talk about this project, I talk about the massive, massive importance of that A&P school. Because you can't just, there's some avenues that you can just walk in the door at ST and, you know, start from the ground up and get trained. But until we can start doing that at scale, I mean, think about our housing crisis and how we're trying to, until we get our high school graduates and our kids trained at scale, how are we going to be able to continue to feed that system? So, I mean, to be honest with you, I think that if we were to do this over again, probably having the school from day one would have been probably part of the package that would have made the most sense for us. But I mean, hey, there's a lot of money invested in this. I don't blame anybody back then, but knowing what we know now, and honestly, I think the proudest moment from just the city's role in this since I've been there is that we really re-wrangled quarterback to help get PSC and ST at the table, and not just ST at the table, but ST putting up $5 million of scholarships and everything that helped made it pencil for Pensacola State. So we kind of, myself and Erica, we just said we knew how important this was, And so even though it's PSE that's doing the school, it's ST that's investing, this was a little bit dead on the vine for a little while. And so I don't think we're going to be successful with your without this school. I just don't. I don't think we can get the kids at scale. So, you know, best time to plant a tree 10 years ago, second best is today. I think that's the same scenario here. Is we probably, it would have been great to have this school up and running 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but second best time's right now. And that's why we took it so seriously. And I'm as thrilled for that as any part of this project so far.
You know, the other side of this question that I've had a couple of people ask me about is the, you know, the overall cost and then therefore the cost per job. And depending on which way you cut the numbers, if you take out ST's contribution, you're talking about somewhere between $70,000 or $100,000 per new job if the price doesn't go up and if we get the total number of 1,725 jobs. And, of course, if those numbers change, then those numbers change. But you inherited this this program, and obviously ST has been a good partner. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of businesses that say, well, you know, hey, I'd love to have $80,000 to start jobs per job. Any comments on that or maybe thoughts about how that would shape our thinking about other potential projects like this in the future?
Yeah, look, you know, one's a question of philosophy and one's a question of where our feet are, right? So one, philosophically, are we, you know, should we pay this amount per job? What's the success rate been around the country about that? And I think there's some arguments for, and I think there's some arguments against, and, mm-hmm. and both would have some valid points. But here's the good news. Regardless of that, we're all rowing in the same direction. ST Engineering Hangar 3 that you were at is full today. If we finished it at 5 o'clock today, it would be full of planes tomorrow. So here's what we have. We have pent up demand. We have opportunities for jobs for our citizens to be the breadwinner of their family by the time they're 20 or 21 years old as a mechanic. And despite other mentionings to the contrary, the mechanic jobs are very competitive within the market because they have to be. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find a trained mechanic. So the market is dictating what the cost of a mechanic is. And so ST has a need. The city has a need in creating quality jobs. That's why we paid what we paid for those jobs, I believe, if I'm speaking for 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So we need to see this successful. Would we do this? Would we do that? Should it be $50,000, $70,000 a job? I don't get lost in that. Our eyes are on the prize of making this economic development tactic as successful as possible. So we continue to work with ST on that. We continue to try to create opportunities. We're getting into the high schools and maybe the middle schools now with ST and exposing our kids to that. So before we say, will this work or not work or fair or not fair, I think we have to give it our best shot. And because we won't ever know that if we don't. And so that's what I'm focused on right now.
Very good. And of course, you know, we're already well committed into this. And so, as you say, let's do the best we can to make it work now. Whatever you might say about whether we should have done it in the first place, that's a kind of a moot conversation at this point. Lightning round for you, sir. First question, it's an easy one. Is Dr. Pepper a cola and do you drink it?
Oh, is it a cola? I don't know. When I think of cola, I think of like Czech cola back in the day. Now, I would say, I'm going to say no, it's not. But yes, I'll drink a Diet Dr. Pepper every now and then.
Oh, so you're not a cult member. You just once in a while you sample.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
yeah, I haven't fallen all the way into the trap.
Yeah, feel some. Not very many people like you. That's good. What is the correct way to eat an Oreo?
You know, I've matured over the years, Andrew. So, you know, I've gone back to the classic sandwich style.
As it was presented to you, least challenge.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was more adventurous in my younger days, but every time you ask me these questions, it makes me realize how boring I am. That's I know that.
A dunk or
no
dunk?
How do I eat this? How do I cut that? And I'm like, man, I do it like the normal, boring way. I think.
Dunk or no dunk for your Oreo?
If it's available, but I don't go out of my way for that either.
In any case, you're not dunking.
Vanilla, let me give a shout out for vanilla Oreos if you're really.
Those
are hard to stop eating.
They are very good. But in any case, you're not dunking it in Dr. Pepper, right?
No, I don't believe so. I haven't tried it. I'll have to ask you. But,
stay safe on that one.
Sure.
All right, last one, and this is a bit of a what will the politician say, but do you have a favorite best local hamburger place?
Man, all of them are so good, Andrew. I mean, I can't choose. I've got a top 100 list.
When you think back to the guy who owned Perfect Plane before he was a politician, what would that guy have said?
I see. Okay. well, I'm going to keep it. I'll keep it familial. McGuire Martin is my godfather, and I
there you go.
McGuire's hamburgers.
That is my wife's one of my wife's favorite places too. So it's that they're really really good hamburgers.
I've had more of those than any. So I would say that.
Very good. DC Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, sir. Always a pleasure to talk to you. We look forward to talking to you again next week. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. Let's see. By the way, we've been talking about Pensacola State College and the program they're doing for the AMP school at ST. And listen, personal experience with Pensacola State. Like, I've seen how many different ways they try to adapt to help, you know, raise educational opportunities for our kids here in Escambia County, but also the opportunity for, you know, kids to do dual enrollment. You know, Nadia, our intern, she's here. She's did stuff at PSC when she was in high school. My kids, both of the older ones who have now graduated high school, went for 3 years at PSC while they were doing high school. So it's college credit and high school credit at the same time. It was great for them. They went into university as, you know, sophomores and a half, basically, under their belt. Individualized classes, individualized attention, teachers who want to teach and are there to teach, not to do research, and then they also have to teach. They like to teach. And, you know, times, frankly, that are of a variety, so you can really pick your class section. Just all things designed around the customer. PSC is a great resource for traditional or non-traditional students. Pensacola, Warrington, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, Downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are in Pace or Milton heading towards Pensacola, traffic is building up a little bit on Woodbine at the intersection of US 90 and showing a little bit of buildup as you exit the US 90 bridge onto Pensacola, but clearing up as you pass the Scenic Highway intersection. And traffic is building up in downtown at every intersection, so just expect delays and use caution driving downtown this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Is your home your dream home? Or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton. Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has just what you need to turn your home into your dream home. Top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, stoves, plus washer and dryer combos. Topps Appliance carries the name brands that you know and trust, including GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and so much more. And they have a full installation and service department, something the big box stores just don't offer. They also keep most items in stock so you can take it home today. Turn your ordinary home into your dream home with an appliance upgrade from Topps Appliance. Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be talking about Father's Day, beer fest.
.759 here on News Radio Pensacola. David Wayne, do we have a quick hit for me for the news?
Sure, how about this? Folks with commutes of at least 75 miles have grown significantly since 2020. Research from Stanford showing the number of people that commute at least 75 miles every day It's up 32% since 2002.
I've lived in big cities. In
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.